Praise the Lord. And a few mornings ago, I was waking up. And usually when you just wake up, you just want to lie down there for a while. It was during this time of semi-consciousness that I heard God speak to me. Now, this doesn't happen very often, okay? But I was all prepared to pray. I haven't even prayed yet. I want to pray for the coming year and what God, you know, God always has a theme. Like He has the acceptable year of the Lord last year. And it's my habit, my custom to always ask God for a team for our church. So I haven't even asked God yet, but a few mornings ago, this past week, in the earlier part of the week, I was waking up in a little, you know, semi-conscious state, and I heard God's voice. First, I heard this, restful increase. Restful increase. And then He said the whole thing, the year of restful increase. Oh my goodness, I'm telling you, my heart got really excited. Actually, He got me started already last week, which is the last week, last Sunday of 09. You still remember? We preached on rest. And here, God wants me to continue. Because sometimes my sermons are just one sermon for that particular week. But then this has become a series because I'm continuing that teaching today. And it's going to be a year, this year. 2010 is going to be the year of restful increase. And thank God, God put restful first. That's your focus. Restful comes first, and then there's going to be increase. Can I have a good amen? All right, praise the Lord. Let's go back to where we left off last week, and that's Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. This is the only place in the Bible where God tells us to fear. The Bible has 365 promises of fear not. All right? Someone said one for every day, maybe, maybe not. All right? But one thing is for sure, okay? Even you can find slightly more, whatever. It's just the main thing, the word fear not appears in that number of times. So God really wants us not to be fearful. I was just telling my daughter last night, God has, whenever you feel fearful, it's not from God. For God has not given us the spirit of fear. So her memory verse last night was, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. I made her repeat it. I made her think about it. I tell her, as you sleep tonight, think about it. Whenever you feel fearful, it's not from God. Know that it's not from God. All right? What does God give you? Power, love, and sound mind. Amen. So it's not from God. Okay? But the only place in the Bible that God says, let us fear. All right? God says, for all of us, the writer, which I believe is Paul, by the Spirit says, let us fear. Let us fear what? Let us fear we come short of the rest. Amen? He was talking about the children of Israel coming to the brink of the promised land where God promised them, like I said just now, they will drink from wells they did not dig and live in houses they did not build. It's all built on the all based on the work of another. And yet, when they came to the brink of the promised land, they gave up. They gave up because they went by what they see. All right? Are you giving up in your spirit because of the media that you have read? Are you giving up internally because of what you have heard? The so-called experts, you know, they themselves cannot even stop the downturn. So why listen to them now, you know, and take their words to heart? Come on, church, it's time to hear the one who never makes mistakes, who cannot make mistakes. And if you put your life in His hands, your life will be free from mistakes, and every mistake will be from you. Mistakes does not proceed from Him. Can I have a good amen? But He tells us, be afraid. Be very afraid. All right, that's my own addition. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. Be afraid of not being restful. Above everything. So obviously He knew something about rest enough to tell us, if you're not restful, man, be fearful. Something about rest. God knows something about rest that He's telling us. Rest today, you know, in the Old Testament, rest was a land. But today God says they will not enter my rest. So for the people of God today, rest is our promised land. Our promised land is not houses, cars, and all that. Nothing wrong with these things and all that. But they are not our promised land. Our promised land is rest in Christ. Can I have a good amen? So the Bible says the children of Israel did not enter the land because of unbelief. If today you are discouraged, Today you are angry. Today you are mad at someone. Today you are unforgiving. Today you feel depressed. Today you are just feeling spiteful towards people and even towards yourself. All these things are just branches. They are not the real reason. The real reason is unbelief. You must put everything to the root of unbelief. Discouragement is the fruit of unbelief. Guilt is the fruit of unbelief. Can I have a good amen? Amen. So God says they cannot enter in because of unbelief. All right? For indeed the good news gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So we preach the gospel, we preach the finished work of Christ, all right? And there are many in this audience right now and those watching me on screen, just to stop here and pause here and just to say, all right, New Creation Church, just to let you know, there are many watching on screen than there are in the Rock Auditorium. Amen. You know, the Rock can take about 1,000. Right? In the first service, we had 6,300 people. Majority are not in the Rock. Majority are watching me on the screen, even right now. All right? All over the place, Gallery West, Gallery East, and all that. Gallery itself is larger than the Rock. Amen. And I want you to know something, okay? Even if you're in the Rock, many of them don't look at me physically. They look past me, you know, in a kind of rude fashion. They look through me, man, on the screen. Amen? Put those in the front row. They are not looking at me. They look behind me. I'm thinking, what are they looking at? Then I realize, got a good-looking guy up there, so I understand. Compared to him, I pale in comparison. Amen? So just to let you know, this is good news because all over the world, people are watching me on the screen. And I want to address those of you in the third and fourth service as well. All right, even though you're watching on the screen, you're not missing out at all. Then be physically present. Because I'm telling you, lives are transformed by listening to messages preached months ago in America, in Europe, and all over the world, in Israel as well. Lives are being impacted and transformed from messages that have been preached last year. And you are, those in the third and fourth, you are listening to a message only preached about an hour ago. All right? So, rest be assured that the blessing cometh not from the physical presence of a man. It comes from the Holy Spirit of God who is present with you. Can I have a good amen? So keep that in mind, all those watching on the screen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here God says in verse 3 now in Hebrews 4, we who have believed do enter that rest. So those who cannot enter the rest are people of unbelief. All right? So we are not in that category. Say amen. Amen. But there are unbelieving believers. You know that? They are believers, but they are unbelieving believers. I know it's an oxymoron, but yeah, it's true. So God said, so I swore in my wrath. Say my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. Say my rest. Notice the Holy Spirit put these two contrasts together. If you're not in God's rest, guess where you are. Amen. And the Pharisees are always restless. Restless. Jesus is always at rest. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, Jesus said, it goes about dry places seeking rest. Evil spirits are restless. The Bible says, there is no peace save my God to the wicked. Amen? Our young people are young and restful. Amen. The world has a different term. Amen? The place of rest. So God says, if you're not in rest, you are in His wrath. Although the works for the success of what you're doing this year, the works prepared for the blessing of your family this year, all those works were finished from the foundation of the world. So in verse 9, it tells us there remains therefore a rest to the people of God in the Greek Sabbatimos, Tismos. It is not a rest day. It's not Shabbat, all right, the Jewish Shabbat. It is an internal rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore. Here is another oxymoron. Let us labor. The only labor God calls you to do is to labor to enter his rest. Labor at not laboring. The hardest thing for man to do is he wants to do something. All right? He wants to do something. Man wants to get some glory. Man, because he does not believe God would do it or that God has done it, he wants to do something to secure himself. All right? Because inwardly it is unbelief. He does not really believe that God will do it for him. He believes that unless I do something, nothing will be done. That's how the world thinks. All right? Now, let me tell you this. When you do nothing, God does everything. Amen. Amen. Now, doing nothing, like I said last week, is not a passive life, a lazy life. No one was more active than our Lord Jesus Christ, but then no one was more restful. He did everything in rest, yet he accomplished much more than any human being in 3.5 years. At the end, he can cry at the cross, "It is finished." Amen. And when you look at Jesus, he's always in perfect poise. He's always composed. He's never hurried, never harried, never pushed. He moves in a rhythm. He has a rhythm, all right? A rhythm of miracles, the unforced rhythms of grace. When you look at Jesus and you look at ourselves, we look at ourselves, you know, there are times when I drive down the road, you know, I got to turn to Wendy and I tell her, "Darling, pray for me." They pray for what? Because I keep getting shot with all the drivers on the road. All right, the first one again, I'm not happy because he didn't signal. Then another one just anyhow crossed me. Another one wanted to challenge me. Another one wanted to do that. And at the end, but then finally the Lord said to me, "You know, in all this, these are all different cars and motorcyclists and all that kind of thing. The only one consistent factor is you. You can blame everybody, but everybody changes except you." So guess where the problem is? So I straight away, when I was driving, I turned to my wife and said, "Pray for me." She said, "Pray for what?" You see, she only see the beauty of her husband. That's my lovely wife right over there. And you know what? I said, "Pray for me that I be patient." "Can I not pray for me that I be patient?" No, I didn't talk to her like that. You know, "Pray for what, Samuel?" "Patience, lah." So let us labor to enter that rest. Let us work towards not working. All right? Now, I'm not referring to your physical job or occupation. The Bible has something to say. The same author has something to say about that. If you don't work as in a job, the Bible says you are worse than an infidel. You know what's an infidel, right? An unbeliever, all right? An infidel doesn't believe in God, all right? Many of them are atheists, and God doesn't believe in atheists. In any case, there was an... okay, this infidel is not a good term to be even to use among unbelievers. And God says, if you don't provide for your family, you don't work, you're worse than an infidel. Amen? That came from the preacher of the gospel of grace, Paul. So he says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." And I think it's very interesting that the opposite of unbelief is not belief, but rest. So the opposite of unbelief is rest. You are not restful because you don't believe. There is something about God you're not believing. Okay? And God wants you to enter that rest. So let's go right now to the beginning. And once again, we look at some of the verses that talk about rest in the beginning. Amen? Now, how many know that we are not talking about rest in terms of a day? All right? We're not talking about rest in terms of sitting down, doing nothing. All right? There are moments we need to do that. All right? And I would encourage you very strongly to observe one day out of seven, where is your day of rest. And for many of you, and for many in Singapore and around the world, all right, that day is Sunday, okay? For the Jewish people, they observe Shabbat, Saturday, very religiously. And it begins at 6 p.m. Friday evening, and if it'll finish at 6 p.m. Saturday evening. So their day begins in the evening. Now, that's very interesting because, like I said, you know, God sometimes really changes. You know, we think that the Bible is upside down. You know, when you are always on your head and your leg is on top, you look at the world, you think the whole world is upside down. Actually, like what God said to me, right? You are the one. You are upside down. So what we need to do is that take our brain, amen, let God wash you with a detergent of Jesus' blood, and then if you put it like this, I tell you, I guarantee you'll be a success in every area of your life. All right, the problem is that, you know, our brain has not been renewed. So the thing is that even here, God is saying we are laboring, but have you ever labored to enter the rest? Will you make this your assignment this year to labor to enter into the rest? Rest in your soul, rest in your mind, rest, because we already have rest in our conscience. Every true believer has rest in his conscience. Whether you know it, you don't know it, all right? You don't have sin on your conscience anymore. Once you know the debt is paid, just like when you meet your debtor, all right? Or your creditor, rather, okay? And you find that once it's paid by somebody else, and you meet your creditor, you're not afraid of him. Especially when that someone throws in something free, something more. You're not afraid of your creditor because of you, he's now enriched. because the guy threw in something. Amen. So there's no more debt on your conscience. So we have rest for our conscience. But today I'm talking about rest in terms of your mind, rest in terms of your daily work. All right? It's the year of restful increase. Amen. So here we find God saying, let us labor therefore to enter the rest. He's telling us, God's word is telling us, labor to enter the rest or else you'll be in unbelief. If you look in the early part of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the creation, you find that God actually ordained evening and morning in that order. Look at Genesis 1. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. All right? Which one came first? Evening. Now for us, because our mind is so upside down, you know, don't forget God is the creator, so he knows what is right side up. Okay? The day does not begin with the morning. For us, our day begins at 7 a.m. 6 a.m. for those of you with little kids and all that. You know, but God says the day begins 6 in the evening. So for them, when they celebrate Shabbat or Sabbath, this is what they do. The moment it's 6 p.m., everything stops. In fact, earlier part of the day, Friday, they go shopping, they start preparing everything for the Sabbath meal, right? But the moment 6 o'clock comes, everything ceases. All right? And what is the priority? Their day begins in the evening. Very interesting that God wants our day to begin with rest. Cool it down, evening, and then when the sun sets, actually, that's when the time you're supposed to sleep. You know, a study is done by the National Body for Sleep in America. And I read it somewhere. And it says that before the invention of the light bulb, Thomas Edison's invention, right? Men sleep average about 10 hours. After the light bulb was introduced, on weeknights, it's less than 7 hours. On weeknights, less than 7 hours. And this was, the modern one was in 2002. They did a study. Less than 7 hours on weeknights. On weekends, average about 7.5 hours. But before the invention of light bulb, adults even sleep 10 hours. Give us back the old days. Hallelujah. Amen. So the thing is this, God's day start in the evening. So God says, before you can have effective work tomorrow, wind down. And then God says, you know what they do for Shabbat? Look at the priority for the rest day. All right, the priority is relationship with God and relationship with your family and loved ones. It may include close friends as well. But that's the first thing they do. The first thing they do once Shabbat comes in the evening is that they have a meal. It's a time of celebration, a time of relationship. And they bring God into the picture because in everything they do, they thank God for the Shabbat. They thank God for the loved ones. And they have relationship with their loved ones. What a way to start your rest day. Amen. And then the Father will bless his children. May you be like Ephraim and Manasseh and start blessing every one of them. No wonder with this one day of rest in every week, and then the blessing of the Father, which God enforces. No wonder the Jewish people are achievers, movers, and shakers in every realm of society, and still the number one winners of Nobel Prize. Isn't it amazing? Amen. This kind of environment. So the first priority is relationship with God on the rest day in the evening. So God is showing through all this shadows of the Shabbat, because the Shabbat is actually a shadow, not the real thing. Will come the real thing in a while's time. But even the shadow shows us something. It's a visual aid that the first priority for the rest day is relationship with God, relationship with loved ones, and then the next thing they do, they sleep. Number three priority is sleep. In other words, their day begins with sleep, isn't it? All right? They sleep. Jewish rabbis encourage couples to make love on the Sabbath. So if you go back, your husband is not here, you tell him, Pastor Prince, Sabbath day, you know, rest day, you know, which I have one day out of 7, just tell him. And he says that rabbi says I shall make love on that day. He'll jump on the bandwagon, I'm guaranteeing you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that Matthews would. Already got 4, right? 5 lah, number of grace. All right, so we have the third priority, which is sleep. And then when they wake up, all right, it's not the beginning of the day. It's really already halfway. So they're empowered. They have spent time with God, with their loved ones and their family, and then they're empowered to face the day, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning, the evening and the morning. Can I have a good amen? But Shabbat day, they rest the whole day on Saturday, all right, until 6 p.m. in the evening. So we go on to the next verse. We have the second day, evening and morning. We have the next one, verse 13, evening and morning. But finally, in verse 31, we find that God saw everything he had made. It was very good because man has come on the scene. Everything that God made on the previous days, God saw at the end, and God said it was good. But for man, when man came on the scene, God said, very good. Right? So now turn to your neighbor, smile, and say, wow, very good. Amen? Very good. Say, very good skin, very good hair, very good eyes. Amen? Very good health this year. Amen? Amen. So God made man last so that man can enjoy everything that he has created. So the man will not take glory as being the co-creator. He cannot. He was made last. He wasn't there when God made everything by himself. So God wanted man to live a life of rest. Man was created on the sixth day. God rested on the seventh. God rested not because he was tired, but because his work was finished. He was perfect. Can I add to it? So man was created on the sixth. So man's first day is God's day of rest. Right? So man enter into rest, then he can work. So again, we see from that picture that you must have rest, proper rest. And God is more than just physical rest, okay? Don't get legalistic about physical rest here, all right? But I still believe that you should have one day out of seven. For us who are pastors in this church, our off day is tomorrow, all right? We work very hard here, and then we still have meetings and, you know, phone calls to make, people to meet, whatever. And then after that, all right, we rest. Actually, our rest starts at 6 p.m. this evening. But many a times, you know, in the past, I'm still preaching after 6 p.m., right? So now we are on the screen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now you understand why. I must rest. Amen? So it can be more effective. Praise the Lord. And with all the demands around the world and the invites that's coming in and all that, we just have to pace ourselves. We must know that the world will still go on without us. I know it's not flattering for you to realize that. Honestly, the world will still go on. It's a privilege for us to participate with God. All right? So man's first day was a day of rest, and man must enter into rest before he can work. Now, look at the seventh day, Genesis 2. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day. What did God do? He blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. He sanctified it. Do you know that this is the first time the word holy in Hebrew is mentioned? We find the word holy used a lot. Kadosh. The Holy of Holies in the temple is called Kadoshim. Kadosh, Kadoshim. Right? Here the word Kadosh appears for the first time, and it's in relationship with rest. So write this down. Rest is holy. We are basing this on the law of first mention. There is a principle of Bible interpretation called the law of first mention. Every time a subject is mentioned for the first time, there is something significant about it. Amen? Amen? All right, so here we have the word sanctify or holy. All right, and what is really holy in God's estimation? Rest. Rest is holy. And for those who fight for the day, forgetting their shadows. Let me just show you real quick. I showed this more at large, the verses before this, how God, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, God brought it out of the way, or like God blot out his handwriting. Only God can blot out his own handwriting, and God did it righteously and justly to the cross of Jesus Christ. And what happened as a result? In Colossians, it tells us, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. All right? We are no more under a Sabbath day. Why? Because all these Sabbaths, this festival, food and drink, are all a shadow of things to come. They're all a shadow of, they're not a substance. The substance is of Christ. So Sabbath is Christ. Sabbath is a person. True Sabbath is a person. Can I have a good amen? Do you know that even food and drinks, although it's referring to the festivals of Israel, but even notice that before you can eat, the food must die. In most cases, lah. You know, the food must die. All right? The food has to die. And then, not only dead, all right, it has to be cooked in the fires of judgment, fires representing judgment. After it's cooked, it must be consumed for its benefit. Therein you see the death of Jesus Christ. So back in Israel, they will have olive fruits. You cannot eat the olive fruit straight away. It's too bitter. So it must be crushed. There you have the crucifixion and the death of Jesus before you can enjoy the oil. The wine is the same thing. You don't take grapes and just eat grapes like that and call it wine. No, to get wine, the grape must be crushed. And then step upon, crushed, fermented. That's what happened to Jesus. And then he became bread and wine to all of us. Can I have a good amen? So even in food and drink, they're all shadows of the substance Christ. Do you have Christ? Amen. If you have Christ, you have rest. I said, if you have Christ, you have rest. Can I have a good amen? So Sabbath is a person. It's Christ himself. Now, it's very interesting that when Jesus walked on earth, he was accused of working on the Sabbath day. One of the biggest accusations that the Pharisees level against Jesus is the fact that he worked on the Sabbath day. So obviously, Jesus' mentality of the Sabbath, by the way, seventh day, just now, go back to seventh day. Let me just finish this first. The seventh day has no evening and morning. Have you noticed that? God's rest is unending. All right? God's rest is unending. However, for those who fight for the seventh day, we showed you just now, all right, it's only a shadow. Even God himself had to work again in the next chapter because man sinned and God had to work again. God had to work in the first place. This rest is rest of creation, of his creation. But he started work again at recreation. Amen. So God started working the moment man sinned. God was the one that killed the first animal. God was the one that clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of the animals, a picture of his son, Jesus Christ. So God went to work. And all the days of Jesus, Jesus was telling the Pharisees, the reason why I opened the eyes of the blind, why I healed that withered hand, why I raised the lame man is because, and he did it on Sabbath. Most of Jesus' miracles were performed on the Sabbath. Could it be that God was finally able to get through to people when they are arrested? Could it be some of the greatest gifts we showed you last week was that God gives to his beloved in his sleep? Like the greatest gift of the word of the wisdom of Solomon, wisdom of God. He gives Solomon in his sleep. Could it be we don't sleep enough? We're not receiving enough. Could it be we're not resting enough? God is not getting through. Because as long as you rest, God can work. But if you work, God rests. Go ahead. Do your best. Give it your best shot. 40 years later, how? Can or not? Oh, you still want to go? Another 40? Okay, go ahead. Just remember, God has all the time in the world. You don't. Amen? Whatever you want to learn, learn fast. This is the year 2010 already, you know. Learn fast, amen? Learn fast. And the thing is that God is very, very clear that it is a person. The person is Jesus Christ. He is the rest. So whenever you find Jesus, all right, the Pharisees are very angry when he heals on the Sabbath. But think about it. If you are the man at the pool of Bethesda and you have not been walking for 38 years, the same number of years the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness, all right? And as the exact year is 38 years. All right, in the Bible, it tells us in the Old Testament. The 2 years is added to the other thing, but the judgment itself was 38 years. Look at this. He was like that. It's a picture of Israel, lame, at the pool of grace, house of grace, Bethesda, Bethesed. So there he was. And he has not been walking. All right, watch this. Which is more restful for him? To walk after 38 years on your bum, 38 years on your bum. Everyone look at him, it's rest. For him, it's not. When Jesus says, rise, take up your bed and walk, is that rest for him? Yes. So remember this, rest is not just plop yourself in front of TV, all right? Rest is not just physical. Please understand. In a while's time, I'm going to show you, sometimes when you do something directed by God, it's more restful than doing nothing. Rest is not inactivity. Rest is directed activity. Directed by the Spirit of God. It is not rest from, but rest in work. Amen, church? Amen. So, when Jesus healed the man at the pool of Bethesda, of course, the religious leaders got crazy, all right? They said that, oh, he is healed on the Sabbath day. Or asked the man, who asked you to carry the bed and walk? I mean, it was the greatest Sabbath of his life. 38 years, I can't walk. Wow, this is really what life is all about, man. I'm walking, man. He was like, oh, man, you know. It was the greatest Sabbath of his life, right? He'd been sick like the woman who was bowed down for 18 years. 18 years ever since Jesus was 12. The Pharisee that was running the synagogue was there. If that really, that chief ruler of the synagogue was there listening to the 12-year-old boy 18 years ago, this church member won't be like this. Yet after Jesus healed that woman suffering from this spirit of infirmity for 18 years, he was not happy that one of his church members got healed. Why? This is a Sabbath day. You're not supposed to be healed. For a sick person, the greatest Sabbath is healing. All right? You might think that, well, as long as you lie down that Sabbath, go and ask all those who've been in the hospital for 1 month, all right, on their back. All right? The nurse must come and change their patient. Ask them, which is more restful? All right? On the bed or playing soccer? Or whatever. Amen? Come on, church. The whole idea of rest is what? Directed activity. Can I have a good amen? And then the answer Jesus gave is amazing. Jesus gave this answer in John 5 when they asked Jesus, for this reason the Jews, based on the story of the pool of Bethesda's healing, all right, of the lame man, same chapter, for this reason, because Jesus healed the man, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered, now look at his answer, my Father has been working until now and I have been working. My Father has been working until now. Ever since Adam fell, God came out of his rest and started working. Working for man's redemption. Working for man's wholeness. Working for man's blessing. And my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Remember this, when you are resting, God is working. Amen. Don't try to get it done by yourself. Don't feel as if everything depends on you. That's on purpose. Sometimes, you know, I'll take time off. Although I need to take time off more. Because this church is not built around me. Amen. Amen, Pastor Prince. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. God help us if it's built around me. Praise the Lord. It's built around Jesus. Amen. Yes, without Jesus we cannot. Without man, he will not. Not that he cannot, he will not. He has chosen to work through men. And for that, we honor any man that God uses. All right? But only in the sense that God has chosen. What a privilege it is for us. Can I have a good amen, church? So here, we find that rest is something God says is holy and is powerful. And not only that, God says it's your promised land. And something else, in Leviticus 25, it tells you, then the land will yield its fruit and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. Now, God is talking about the 7 year of rest. There is a law for the children of Israel in the Old Testament that every 7th year, you must let the soil rest. Don't plant anything. Don't cultivate any plant. Whatever it is, do not sow, do not plant, do not cultivate. Leave it fallow. Just let it lie there. Experience its own Sabbath. Even the soil needs Sabbath. Remember this. God's not just concerned with the soil, but for men, ultimately, because when you allow the land to rest, all the farmers rest that year. So every 7 years is a year of rest. What is interesting is that in the 1920s and 30s, when we had the Great Depression, you know, this current economic downturn has been likened to the Great Depression. What preceded the Great Depression was the farmers lost their land to what they call the Great Bowl, the bowl dust, all right? Phenomena. What happened was this. For many, many years, they plant on their soil, all right, without letting the soil rest. Even until today, the Ministry of Agriculture of USA, all right, will give pamphlets away. In the pamphlets, you'll find write-ups on, you must let the land rest, okay? Do crop rotation. They'll tell you to do crop rotation and let one crop rest. Another crop, focus on another crop, another place, and let the land rest. I was in Israel one time and I asked the people, do you still practice the Sabbath year of rest? They said, yes, we do. Our crops all go through. No wonder they export some of the best fruits in the world and flowers and all that. Even Europe depends on them. Amen. So their land is blessed. Amen. So from there, I realized I must let my hair rest once a week. Amen. Don't put nothing. Don't put anything. Don't, you know, don't just wash it at the end. Amen. And, you know, anyway, you all found a secret, is it? Just something only, like, just throw out there, okay? If it works, it works. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Don't even put cow dung. Amen. Don't fertilize it. Nothing. All right? Just let it go, man. All right? And some of you are putting too many things every single day. Amen. And, all right. So the thing is this. It applies in every area of our life. Every area of our life. That principle of rest. You need to have your one day of rest out of seven. So back to the story of the Great Depression. What happened was that they refused to listen to the advice of the soil conservation scientists in US. Even back then, they were giving them this advice. And these people are not believers, many of them. You know? They're not going to the Bible to get the advice. Just pure science. They studied the oil, the soil. And finally, they keep on doing that, and the soil lost its fruitfulness. It lost its strength. It became weak soil. And then the prairie winds came and blew away the topsoil. And because the topsoil is blown away, that's when it gave rise to the phenomenon. As a result, the great bold dust came. And farmers, by the droves, because America at that time was made up of farmers, basically. Farmers by the droves left the countryside. Left millions and millions of acres was abandoned. All right? And because of that, it precipitated the Great Depression. Even our problem right now, all right, has been caused by men that violated scriptural financial principles. And I can tell you right now, if you are struggling financially, if I were you, I'll make sure that I'm in the flow of God's financial plan. Can I have a good amen? Amen? You know, tithing was not given to you for God's benefit. Tithing was given to you for your benefit. Don't say, Pastor, don't talk about tithing. Under grace, 100% of my money belongs to God. All right? Yeah. Say that to your wife. You know, darling, 100% of my time is yours. And you don't spend 1 hour engaging her in intimate conversation. She's not going to buy it. All my time is yours. No woman is a sucker for that. They'll say, yeah, all your time, I understand. I just want one day. Right? She'll say, I just want one day. So the same thing with God. 10% is representative of the whole. Amen. So this is not for everybody. If you feel like, oh, well, he's trying to get my money, forget it. Don't tie for you. Because it's not a revelation. But it's something you get to, not you have to. It was never meant to, you have to. It's something like, God has a secret the world doesn't know. It's a secret for his own children. All right? But the moment you don't see it as a secret, you see it as something, God is putting a law on you, there's no law. Sorry, there's no law in the New Testament that says you must tie. No law. But here and there, you find Abraham tied to Melchizedek, who is our high priest today. And so are we in him. Amen. So you see principle that if the first fruit is holy, the rest is holy. This is how God talks. It's like God is telling you, it's a deep secret for those who are hungry. So it's not for everybody. Amen. So back to this again. Praise the Lord. How many want to prosper? Amen. Restful increase is not just financial increase, okay? When God spoke to me, he was very clear. He says, whether you want a baby, all right, increase in terms of your influence, whatever increase, whatever area, is going to be the year of restful increase, not stressful increase. All right, some people increase, but very stressful. You look at their face, they have more wrinkles. All right, they are very tired, bloodshot eyes all the time, you know, and they're working very hard. And that's increase, yes. But you know what? It's not restful increase. I repeat again, it's a year of restful increase. All right, let's go to the main crux of my teaching today. And it's Matthew 11. How do we get this? How can we walk in this? It's Matthew 11, verse 28 and 30. 2:30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. He didn't say come to a denomination, come to a man of God, whatever. Come to me. Jesus says, I am the fountain of living waters. Come to me. Amen. All you who labor. Labor here is not occupied in a job. No, no. Labor are those who are laboring to please God under the law. And are heavy laden. Heavy laden are those who are heavy laden with all these rules and regulations. Amen. The Jews added 613 commandments to the original 10. You know, actually, what God's saying, in essence, is the 10. You keep the 10, and I'll deem that you keep all the rest. And even the 10, man cannot. Okay, thank God, God sent his 10th, the first fruit, Jesus Christ, who kept the 10 for us. And we are now in the 10, the first fruit. Amen. Can I have a good amen? Praise the Lord. So here, all right, God is talking to his Jews of his day. Jesus is saying to the Jews of his day, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm... Take my yoke. Say my yoke. No, I need to read slowly. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. That's what happens when all of us come to Jesus. He gives us rest. Where? In our conscience. That's where the rest begins. Deep in our spirit. Our spirits need to be reborn. So now all those of you who have Christ in your life, your spirit is born again. All right? So you have rest. Deep down, you have rest. You do have rest. Where you don't have rest sometimes is in the area of your mind, your emotions. But he answers that as well. So that's, I will give you rest. Give. This is rest given. Say rest given. The next verse, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me directly. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So we have rest given in the new birth. Now we have rest found. You will find rest. Where? Which area? For your souls. Wouldn't you agree after you are saved, the biggest area that needs rest is your emotions, your mind, your soul? Because God cannot prosper you or make you healthy beyond the prosperity of your soul. Because God says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as equals, even as your soul prospers. So to the extent your soul prospers, your body prospers, your finances prospers. Okay? So prosperity for the soul is a soul at rest. So we have the rest given. Now he says, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the yoke of Jesus is not harsh. It's easy. It's not heavy, demanding. It is light. Amen. Look at this phrase. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You know, this characteristic of Jesus is what constitutes what we call inner beauty. When you look at someone and they are gentle, gentle does not mean you allow people to run all over your, walk across you and just dominate you and you're just like, you have no rights, no, you don't speak up your mind, nothing. No, it's not that. Gentleness means, all right, you can hit back, but you choose not to. It takes greater strength. Gentleness is strength under control. Amen. Any fool can speak up their mind. Any fool can lose his temper. All right? Gentleness is greater than the fool. He has his strength under control. I was talking to a teenage girl recently about, you know, two kinds of cool. If you choose a boyfriend, make sure you find the right cool. Because out there, there are people trying to be cool, but they're not cool. The first bad word comes out, they shoot off their mouth. All right? They lose their control over their passion. All right? You will just be a name in their game. Because all they are after is themselves. That's not cool. Find a guy who's really cool. He loves you. He cares for you. He will hold back all his lusts or whatever it is because he honors you. That is cool. That is really cool. All right, so she enjoyed that conversation, all right, about two kinds of cool. Right? One is fake cool, pseudo cool. One is really cool. Amen. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, those who are not gentle and lowly. Lowly is another thing. You must be lowly, humble. You know, when you are slighted, when you are criticized, what's your response? Amen. Thanks for telling me. Thanks for correcting me. What is your response? Do you have this high and mighty spirit? How that was, that's always my seat. I always sit down here one. Well, who is he to treat me like that? Who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? Don't you know who I am? I don't deserve this. I don't deserve that. I deserve better. Everyone should, oh, yeah. All of them raising their hands. Yeah, it's not cool for me to raise my hands. Too bad. The Bible says it is comely for the upright to praise the Lord. We lift our hands because God says it's very attractive in my eyes. Amen. Oh, so people who are proud get hurt the most. Amen. And proud people are actually insecure people. They're very insecure. When you find a person who is proud, angry, it's a very insecure person. You pity them. Don't get angry. Pity them if you can. Amen? Amen, church? You know something, church? If we know everything we know, we are still in the hot soup that we are in, well, what you know is not helping you, isn't it? Amen? All right, so you humble yourself and say, God, teach me what I don't know. Something about this whole thing, I don't know. I am in the dark. Teach me what I don't know. You're going to whack all the time, you know, and say, no problem, no problem. I took care of this area already, but there's an open door. The enemy is shooting, you know, the arrows are coming, hitting you. Wow, no, there's no arrow, no. I took care of the problem a long time ago. I told you I took care of it. I mean, listen to your wife, listen to your friends, listen to people who love you, and shut the stupid window. Amen? And get well. The truth of the matter is that people know who you are long before they correct you. You don't have to maintain any image in front of people. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen, Pastor Prince. Good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen, brother. You look as good looking as the guy up there, you know? All right, next one. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. This is the yoke. How a yoke looks like. Look up here. All right? That's a yoke. Okay, it's not the face of the guy with the horns. All right, the yoke is that wooden thing across these two oxen, all right? Now, I'm sure when Jesus says, take my yoke, all right? Being a carpenter before he entered the ministry, the divine carpenter must have manufactured or created some yoke for people to use, right? Every time he created the yoke, he was thinking, you know, my yoke is easy. The yoke that I give is going to be easy. Now, here is a conundrum, all right? A yoke is a picture of what? Work. Yet Jesus says, you will find rest. When you take my yoke, you will find rest. But we know yoke is an object for work, right? So let's go back to what he said again, all right? Take my yoke upon you. We are going to find rest for our souls, church. I said rest for our souls, for our emotions, our mind. Can I have a good amen? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. When you look at Jesus, he's always in perfect composure. He's never hurried. He's never rushed. He's always on time, even though he seems late. Like I shared in one of the services last week, you know, Jesus was preaching to a crowd from the lake, and then after that, sent the crowd away. Went to the other side because there was a man who was so demonized who needed Jesus, and his disciples didn't know. And he was feeling tired. God incarnate in human flesh was also fully human. And he slept in the boat. Amen. What a well-deserved rest. Unfortunately, it was interrupted. Most of us getting interrupted, we will whack our disciples, man. You know? All right? The storm didn't wake Jesus up. It was the cry of his loved ones that woke him up. Don't you care? It was a very, very rude awakening. Very, very unfair to say, don't you care? The best thing for them to do is yoke. Yoke means what? He lie down, I lie down. You know, you are yoked together with Jesus, amen? So you should lie down with him, amen? Because if he goes down, you go down, right? But you know he can't go down. So it's a matter of who is in the boat. Are you yoked with him? No, they're not yoked with him. They are yoked to the winds. They are yoked to the downturn and the media and the financial experts. They're not yoked to Jesus. He's sleeping. All right, it wasn't a storm that woke him up. It was the cry of his beloved. So he got up, he hushed the storm, brought perfect peace, all right, to the lake of the storm. They said, shut up! I want to hear his voice. Peace. And all the storm obeyed. Amen. Then he turned and still the storm in their hearts. Where is your faith? And they all said, what manner of man is this? All right? He stepped over the other side. The most demonized man you ever met. Rawr, 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 rah, any resemblance to Pastor Mark is purely coincidental. Then one word, I love it. All right. After he says, what is your name? He says, legend, 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 legend. There's so many of them. I want to have a say. You know, demons are proud. I want to say something. Now, he just casts the whole thing out. All 2,000 of them. All right. He casts with one word. Go. All of them come up. At one shot, all of them left, jump into the pigs. The pigs have more common sense. The pigs realize they're demon-possessed, so they jump into the water and commit suicide. They say that, if I get demonized, I'm going to bring them down with me. So they jump into the water. Amen? Because maybe the pigs heard Jesus share that when the evil spirit comes out, all right, looking for dry places. So he thought, evil spirits don't like wet. So they jump into the water. All right? So, whenever you eat pork, I'm just teasing, okay. Anyway, jump into the water. All right, one word, go. I love it. What style? And the Bible says, at the feet of Jesus was now the man who was previously demonized. I love this. Clothed, in his right mind, seated, restful. Three words. Previously he was naked. Now he's clothed. See, if you have a need to always drop your clothes, you know, your clothes get shorter and shorter. It's a demonic spirit. When you're in your right mind, you'll be clothed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. All right? What kind of clothes, Pastor Prince? No, just be decent. All right? Praise God. Then the next thing, all right, in his right mind, and the last one, sitting at Jesus' feet. I love it. Every time someone is free from the influence of darkness, he's restful. Jesus was so cool. Interrupted sleep. Got up. Where were the disciples? Not mentioned. All in the boat, hiding. Then he went back because the people came. The people of that Decapolis area came, the Gadara area came over and told Jesus to go away. Stupid. They could have brought their mother-in-law who is sick, or maybe they don't want the mother-in-law healed. Okay, they can bring other people who are sick, lepers or whatever, and they have a healing day, isn't it? And they shoot Jesus away. And Jesus is the type, you don't want him, he won't force you. So he went into the boat, he went back to the other side. Got into the boat, went back to Capernaum. The moment he stepped over in Capernaum, a man came. All this in one day. A man came. Please, my daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her. And Jesus walked with him. Then you know the story. A woman came behind. Touched his blue takelet. All right, the Jewish people call it. The prayer shawl. The end of it. She touched it. He turned around. She was healed. There's nothing magical about the prayer shawl, or else all the Pharisees were, you know. They just produce nothing. It's Jesus, folks, not the symbols. And Jesus had time to call her daughter, assure her, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. He didn't want her to receive blessing from his back. That's Old Testament. You see the back part of God. He wanted him to behold. He wanted her to behold his glory in his face. He has time. And then he turned around, went on. Now, while he was talking, someone came and says, Jairus' daughter is dead. Don't bother anymore. Don't bother the master. And Jesus has time to say, don't worry. Even when he's too late, he still has a rhythm. Came into the house, raised the girl from the dead. Imagine, it all started with him preaching on the lake, all in one day. There's such, when you read the Bible carefully without any biasness, you find Jesus so restful. There's always perfect poise and imperturbability about him. That when I look at myself, oh, Joseph Prince. But I know my only hope is to keep on looking at Jesus the way the Bible portrays him. Because the Bible says, by beholding the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Not by my willpower or efforts, by the Spirit. Compare yourself with Jesus. Aren't you glad that the Father has made him you? And God has put you in him. Because he looks good. Amen? So in everything in life, you are yoked with Jesus. Now, the thing is this. Yoke means what? Back to the picture again. There's usually an old cow and a younger cow. All right? A master trainer and a trainee. The boss and the apprentice. Because cows don't die together, right? Usually one cow dies. Then how about the other cow? They'll bring a young cow. So the other one is experienced now. So the young cow is an apprentice. So Jesus is the master trainer, and we are the apprentice. We are his disciples. So we are safe, but we don't have rest for our souls. We are still hurrying here, hurrying there. We defend ourselves. We are not gentle. We are not lowly. All right? Myself included, okay? I'm not talking about you. Myself. Me first. Happy? Okay? So we are all like that. But Jesus, here you have a cool person. You have a person always composed, always not affected by the wickedness of man, always willing to please the Father. And he's such a delight to look at. He's altogether lovely when he's firm, it's not overbearing, it's not, you know, abrasive. When he's kind, it's not soft. So you're yoked with him. Then all of a sudden you realize, my, the yoke is easy. It's not hard like this yoke. I remember John Osteen, not Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is his son, all right? John Osteen, the father, he's passed away to be with the Lord now. I remember years ago, I remember reading an article by him, and John Osteen said he had a dream one night. He dreamt that Jesus appeared to him and was holding a cross. So Jesus says, take my cross, all right? Jesus passed the cross, looked so heavy, to John Osteen. And John Osteen took the cross, but the moment he took the cross on his shoulder, the cross lifted him up. It looked heavy, but actually the cross lifted him up. Why? Because the real cross has been borne by Jesus. So today, whatever you take, the things of God lifts you up. There is an inner buoyancy, like when you push a rubber ball into the water, he's coming. There's an inner buoyancy about the things of God. And Jesus' yoke is easy, all right? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, all right? Show them the verse, all right? Yoke is easy, not harshed. The burden is not burdensome, it's light. So the things of God, when God leads you, it's very easy. It's light, all right? Be careful of people who try to impress you with an exclusiveness on hearing God's voice. It's like, you're going to learn to hear God's voice. These are the 7 steps. These are the 5 steps. Honestly, please, come on. You don't have to qualify to hear God's voice. You only have to be his own. If the truth was known, God even talked to people who are sinners, all right? Not in the same intimacy the way he talks to us, his children. You know, when Cain killed Abel, God came to Cain. God says, what have you done? First, God says, where is Abel, your brother? All right? Then Cain, the murderer, said, is this your voice or is this Satan? Did he say that? No, he knew it was God. He knew it. How come we don't know? And I assume you're not a murderer. I mean, a murderer can tell. Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, you talk to me like that, huh? Fry. Are you glad I'm not God? Hallelujah. Sometimes I read this kind of thing, I imagine if I'm God, you guys finish, man. Am I my brother's keeper? Boom, the head start rolling down there. Amen. But God was still kind to him. Because the voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground. Then he says, oh, from now on, I'll be a vagabond. I'll be this. Everyone who finds me will kill me. Then God says, I put a mark on you. No one will kill you because of this mark. God even protected him. There's always someone, well, you know, you need to have the 7 steps to hear God's voice. When a baby is born, the baby hears the mother's voice, the father's voice the most. They talk non-stop to the baby. When the baby starts growing up to be a teenager, that's the time they talk the most and the parents keep quiet. You have no problem, even as a baby Christian, you know, you need to know that peace, that's all. Many a times God doesn't speak in words. Many a times it's the peace. The rest, and easy, and light sensation in the spirit. Follow that, because when Jesus moves left, follow him. Or else your neck will be, you know, you follow him. And many a times he moves real slow in the rhythm of grace. Come to me. I'm going to give you the Message translation because some of you are cool out there, you know what I'm saying? You are from the 21st generation. You feel like, man, I've got it all together. I need language that's more than the Bible kind of language. Pastor Prince, you speak the old lingo. I'll give you the Message lingo, okay? Right now. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you worn out? Burn out on religion? Come to me, yo. Get away with me, and you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn, I love this part, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Amen. You are all a bad influence. You are encouraging me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But freely and lightly is what it's all about, folks. That rhythm, unforced rhythms of grace. Now, there are times, if you're honest, the rhythm of grace, like God, there are times it's like the senior ox doesn't even move. There are times he's just waiting in the wind, listening to the birds, and you are young, especially the young, you know? We are young and restless. Hey, let's get going, man. There's work to be done. And there are times you just relax. When God relaxes, you need to relax. When he's sleeping, you better sleep. And then he tells you, just listen to the birds. The sound I put into the birds will de-stress you. It's high-pitched sounds. It works at a level to bring your blood pressure down. That's why all the old grandfathers, now they put the hang on all those birds. They sit down there and they listen to it. Many of them live long, you know. You got the birds. There's a sound, the birds. Also dolphin, very high-pitched sounds that bring certain amount of healing. But we don't have time to listen to all this, really. Our time is the radio, the TV, the iPod, the aggravating noise of the low frequency of the machines, the cars, and the roadworks. It's a jarring effect on the body. So God says, take time to listen. Ah, that kind of sound, is it? Somebody switch off your phone, please. Pray for patience, somebody. So you follow Jesus. Amen. When he drinks, you better drink. All right? Because you say, I'll drink later. I'm not so thirsty. I'll drink later. And you feel the urge to read from the word. Or he starts eating the grass. And you are like, you know, I'll eat later. You find that later when you come to eat, drink, the water is stagnant. You come to eat the grain is soiled. You better eat when he eats. You better drink when he drinks. When you feel hungry, that's a time to eat. And your Bible will come alive. When you feel hungry, you should have a Bible somewhere in your car, everywhere, even in the toilet. When you feel hungry, just grab and read. I promise you, it will jump out at you. But you say, later on. You open, nothing jumps out at you. Now, Pastor Prince, it's rude, no, when I'm sitting down at rest. You think God doesn't know what you have and what you are doing? He made you. So while you are letting go of the cares and the burdens of this life and all the things that are stinking in your life, amen, it's a good time to receive from the Lord. Amen. God is not moved, man, by all that. God knows all about you. Can I have a good amen? Flow with God. And there are times, you know, when rest is violated, you want to buy a bigger car. All right? I understand some of you have a larger family. You need a bigger vehicle. They want to understand. But if you just want to buy a bigger vehicle that you know you can't afford, but you want to go into debt, what is your motive? Image. All right? Which is more important, rest or image? For some of you, you sacrifice rest for image. And in your life, there's no rest for your soul. Yes, you have rest in your conscience. You are safe. But there's no rest in your soul. Because you purchase something that you know you can't afford. And which is more important, your rest or people's opinion? Sometimes you just downsize your house, all right, only temporary. Don't forget, restful increase. Increase always comes after. You are at rest, then it comes increase. I don't have time to show you what I showed them in the first service, that when they observe the land of rest, God's, let me show you real quick, okay? You want that, right? Yes. All right, Leviticus. See what, if you say, what shall we eat in the 7 year? Since we shall not sow nor gather nor produce. Next verse. I will command my blessing on you in the 6 year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. And you will sow in the 8 year and eat old produce until the 9th year, until its produce comes in, you shall eat of the old harvest. Notice God says, I'll command my blessing. Do you know something? There's no other place in the Bible that God says, I command my blessing. So rest brings God's commanded blessing. Rest brings God's commanded blessing. The only other place you find is Deuteronomy 28. The Lord will command, verse 8, the blessing on you in your storehouses, that's your bank accounts. God will command his blessing in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land. Your land is what? Rest. So God will bless your bank accounts. God will bless everything you touch this year. All right? But he doesn't tell you what to do right now. So there's the only other place that says commanded blessing is Leviticus, where God says, I'll command my blessing. Wow. You know why God has to command his blessing? Do you know why? Obviously, there's opposition. There's powers of darkness trying to stop the blessing. But God says, when I command, all right, you will get it. Amen. All right, whatever is in the way will be removed. Amen. I will command my blessing. I'll command through the clouds. I'll command through the storm, and you will get it. Yes. I'll command my blessing on you, on your career, on your ministry, on your family, on everything you touch. Amen. I'll command. It is the only place. So in other words, rest is the greatest holiness there is. Not only that, rest. The first mention of grace, by the way, is Noah found grace. Noah's name is rest. You can say rest found grace in the law of first mention of grace. Then we have rest brings you into the promised land is rest. All the promise of God is rest. Amen. And rest brings God's commanded blessing. Amen, church. Are y'all with me? There are times you don't correct your child. There's no rest. You always think of loving your children as hugging, kissing, encouraging them, speaking positive. Yeah, that's the mainstay, all right? But there are times you find that when you don't correct, you feel restless. Then you better correct. When they're young, you may have to spank them sometimes, all right? Not all the time. Something's wrong when you do that all the time. But there are times when you do that, you find rest. Even though you're sad, right, in your emotion, but there's rest. Even a teenager should never be the one to govern the whole house. You are the head of the house. But as long as they're under your roof, they're under your care and under your authority. All right, don't do it legalistically. Don't do it angrily. Do it with authority. In a restful authority. Can I have a good amen, church? And this principle of restful increase will bless you in every area of your life. Before you make a decision, you're not sure about the rest, check with your wife's rest, your husband's rest. All right? Shall we downgrade, darling? This house is a burden to us. I know some of you, you need the house because of certain needs you have. Or not, but doesn't mean forever you will live in a smaller place. It's better to have rest, like the Bible says in Proverbs. It's better to have a dinner of salad where there's quietness and rest than filet mignon, but there's fighting all the time. Amen. Amen, church? So follow that directed activity. Even it tells you to correct someone, to help someone, do it, something unpleasant. If there's a rest, you find at the end, the rest will confirm you did the right thing. Can I have a good amen? Many of you decided that this church is your church because you came here and there was like, I feel at home. There's a rest. Well, Pastor Prince, I still feel restless. Maybe this is not the place for you. All right? You need to find another place. Yeah, because there are many good churches in Singapore. All right, you need to go because we are running out of space. No, that's not the reason. All right, the reason is that you must know inside here, amen, that this is the place God has for you. Amen? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Say easy.
Easy.
Say easy.
Easy.
Say light.
Nice.
That's how he leads you. Amen? Anything heavy, anything fearful, anything threatening you or pushing you, it's not God. Amen? Be at rest in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed all across this place, and also every one of you there watching me on the screen, bow your heads, close your eyes. There is no distance in time or space with God. If you are here this evening, you've heard the call of God. Remember that even entering his rest takes Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Even entering his rest takes Jesus. Without Jesus, you cannot enter the rest. There is peace like a river. That's how he leads us. Beside the waters of quietness, he leads you. Mayim Manuka, waters of quietness. Tell God that you will even religiously observe one day of rest, whichever day that may be. Do your best. Doesn't have to be a Saturday, doesn't have to be a Sunday. For most people, it's Sunday. It begins with relationship with God in church, then relationship with your family and loved ones, and then bodily rest and sleep, and face the coming week with courage and confidence and faith. If you are here, you say, Pastor Prince, I want this life of rest, and I want even the rest given to my conscience, because I know I'm a sinner. If my heart should stop beating, I have no assurance that heaven is my home and God is my Father. I want rest in my conscience. Pray for me, Pastor. My friend, you are the reason Jesus came. He came not to condemn. He came to save. And when he saves perfectly and he saves eternally. There is security in the salvation that Jesus has come to bring. If you say, Pastor Prince, I'm not sure whether I can leave the Christian life, forget about that for a while. You cannot. Let me just tell you right now, you cannot. There's only one person who can live the Christian life. His name is Jesus. But when you invite him into your life, he wants you to rest in him so that he will live out the Christian life for you. That same life he walked in when he walked on earth, healing the blind, the leper, blessing the poor. Wherever you are, you say, Pastor, I want everything that Jesus has. Well, everything that Jesus has is in Jesus, the person. When you receive the person, you receive everything he has. He is the bread of life. He is the fountain of living waters. He is the way when you do not know the way. He is the light in your darkness. So if you're here right now, you say, Pastor Prince, pray for me. Wherever you are, all those watching me on the screen, say, Pastor, pray for me. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. Say this after me right now from your heart. Right where you are, say this. Heavenly Father, all together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of love, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who left heaven, came down to earth, took the form of a man, and died for me at the cross. His blood was shed, cleansing me from every sin. You raised him from the dead. Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. My sins are forgiven. All is well between me and you. God is my Father, watches over me. I am secure, completely protected. Thank you, Father. I have received rest for my conscience, for all my sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ is my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give to the Lord. At this time, give the Lord the praise and the worship and all the honor. Amen. Come on, shout to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All those watching on the screen, stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. There is no distance, nor time, or barrier of any sort with the presence of God. God lives outside time. God is able to go into our March, into our June, August months. God can go ahead to the very last day of 2010. God knows the way ahead. God knows. He's the only one who knows the way ahead. Many a times when God leads you, He prepares you without telling you what's ahead, because He wants your walk to be a walk of faith. Do not turn to the arm of flesh, no matter how expert they try to present themselves. Turn to the one with whom there is no mistakes. Turn to the one who loves you with an everlasting love, and prove that love by giving up the son that he loved to die for your sins. Let the beginning of the year be a time of rekindling, reviving, renewing your trust, your hope in the eternal one who never fails. Amen. The God of Abraham will be the God that will lead you out of your Ur of the Chaldees and bring you to a promised land. He is the same God of Isaac that will bring a bride, a blessing, a person to your life that will bless you. He is the same God of Jacob. In spite of all the conniving, manipulative ways of Jacob, He blessed Jacob in spite of it all. And the goodness of God led Jacob to repentance. He is that God who will never, never, never let you go. In spite of who you are, He will never let you go until He is finished with you, until you are conformed to the image of Jesus in perfect peace and rest, just like His Son. Let me pray that over you. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice, everyone watching on the screen, Lord, in every service. I pray, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, that you will multiply your favor, mercy, and shalom, wholeness, health, and peace upon every single person listening. Right now, let that blessing rest upon them, permeate them in their body, manifesting as health, in their minds, manifesting as peace, in their spirit, manifesting as guidance, enlightenment, revelation upon revelation. Let that blessing permeate their children, Lord, with a spirit of honor and obedience towards the parents, Lord. A spirit of coolness, Lord, self-control over their passions, Lord. For the young people, I pray, Lord, that spirit of coolness will come right into them, Lord, from Jesus Himself, that they will curb their passions, that they'll truly, Lord, have strength under control, truly be peaceful and at rest. And I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that each and every person under the sound of my voice, I pray for a reversal of their fortunes. A reversal, Lord, if there's an economic downturn in their life, I pray for a reversal this year in Jesus' name. Let there be a restful increase upon increase. Let it be permeated with rest, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And I pray that your people give them the courage and the boldness to say no to what is not of you. To say no to things, Lord, that will rob them of their time in that which is important. That they will sacrifice the urgent and unnecessary for that which is restful, peaceful, and necessary. Father, thank you. Grant your people, Lord, a new anointing of rest. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen. Start flowing in rest right now. Don't forget, you are yoked with Jesus. Flow with Him. Turn to your neighbor and say, flow with Him. God bless you. You are dismissed.